love him.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Holy, 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 amen. Holy, 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 and I want to see you. Amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? And good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Just pray the Lord would bless us with his presence. You like turning your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in 1 Peter 1. We'll just read verse 13, and then we'll be seated, and we'll read, go to Revelation 3:14, and pick up and just cover the thought with it as we go through. But we'll just read 1 Peter 1:13. Remember now the Sweetheart Banquet coming up. Be ready for all of that. Get everything together. And make sure your sweetheart's ready, all right? And then we'll have the fellowship meeting. Will be the third Saturday in March. It will be in Alabama, so remember that. Just pray the Lord would bless, amen. You noticed up here we kind of moved things around, Richard, and I did yesterday to kind of get everything where everybody can have a little more room and do things. But, we wrote a name and put it on the seat. So, that way you can find out where you're supposed to be sitting. And that's a good way to do it. Maybe you ought to do that in a church. You know, put 1, 2, 3, and, you know, because that'd do it. Amen? All right. Any other announcements? Fellowship meeting, remember that. We always try to announce those way ahead of time where you can make all your plans and get everything ready, okay? Father, we thank you for this day and your grace, Lord, and thank you for everything. We ask you tonight to just come and be in each one of our hearts and our lives, to open our eyes as we sing unto you, to your understanding, that we may walk in the light of your grace. We love you and we thank you and we pray that you would just have your way with all of us and let your light shine, Father, and keep us into the understanding that you want for us tonight, because that's the main thing. Have your way with each one now and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see Sister Frieda back there with us. Reverend. 1 Peter 1:13 is very familiar. We've read it now, 10 times? This makes so we ought to know the scripture. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins, because he's already covered the old coming through into the new, and how the old spoke of the new, and the prophets, and all that, how they spoke of these things. But then the Holy Ghost, verse 12, would speak through the believers like Peter and all of them and John and them and bring it to the place of understanding there. And then it would point all the way to the end. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I say it this way? At the end time. Because there has to be, you know, a final revelation in the end time, right? So there is an end time and there is a point to be revealed and all like that. So remember those things. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been trying for some time to, I know I have an odd way to try to find a thought and keep presenting it till people see it, but that's just me. I'm sorry. I probably never will get changed until the change comes, but I don't think we'll have to worry about it then, do you? We'll just be the same, because I'm just trying to make a point to you, to get it to you, to see about the writing of the Bible. Now, that's what we've been talking about. I mention this every service because I want you to think about it. The writing of the Bible, all right? The Bible, as we've said, writes about the past. It writes about the future. But what did the prophet say about the problem with that? He said, our problem is we look back at the past or we look at the future and fail to see what's going on at the present. Now, I'm just as serious as I can be because this is what I mean. There is no, now listen to the wording because I'm just human. There's no faith in looking backward. Now, that leads you, helps you. You know, it's humanly helps and things because it does help you look, well, see this back there. That helps you. Don't misunderstand it. But that's not the revelation back there that you're needing to get. You're needing to get what's taking place now. All right? So then the future, don't worry about it. It'll take place when it gets there. But this is the only age now, so we're going to strike the Laodicean age and try to get this point. The Laodicean age is a marvelous age. Do you realize in this age is happening something that has never happened before? All right? Because the past has caught up with the present. And the present is not looking to the future. Because remember what I've always said to you. And you think about it. Just seriously think. It's a carnal way. But remember, tomorrow is not here. All right? But when you get to tomorrow, that won't be tomorrow. Right? That'll be today. All right? That's just a simple point. Just think about that and keep it in your understanding of the revelation. Because anything present tense, the future has got something to look forward to, yes. Sure, and we enjoy the past, yes. But if we don't think about what's taking place at the present time, then we're missing the whole scope, because that's what your prophet said. He said, people look back, look forward. He said, that was Satan's way. Remember, I read it to you the other day? Satan's way of doing it to get us to look back, look forward. Well, we ain't got because of this, and then we're going to get over there. No, it don't make no difference. What you ain't got because of what you don't got back behind you ain't going to work. And there is no future. Because once you step over, you're present. That was the point of trying to get you to see the I am to where that was always to be present tense for eternity. All right. Now, then in doing that, see, as we've come through the ages, it's a marvelous thing because I believe if you'll think about it, most people think about the book of Revelations that it's not Bible. You know, that it's something like added parts or doing this or doing something. You know, it's not to just say that it's the Word of God. Because they want to argue over what it shows. All right? Now, that's carnal, I know, but just think about what I'm trying to say. That if you talk to most everybody about the book of Revelation, we can't understand that. There's no way to understand that. We know it's symbols, we know it's this, we know it's that, but we can't understand it. Well, now, I believe since the prophet came, I thought that was what he came for, was to bring those things that were not made known before, to bring it into the open to where that you and I could believe it and see it. All right? So there shouldn't be any problems with the book of Revelations. But now you want to get in the message people and start talking about those things. You find out you're going to run in trouble because they're going to I believe it's this and I believe it's that. I believe it's this. All right? We don't have no right to believe. We just accept what God says and forget the rest because it won't work. All right. But getting to the point, Jesus Christ is the theme of the entire Bible, correct? All right. The bride's not the theme of the entire Bible. The bride is Jesus Christ made manifest in another form. She's not the theme. The ending up of all things, wonderful, is to be in you and me, right? We believe that. But we're not the theme of the Bible. He's the theme of the Bible. Don't ever get to the point that you think that you're as good as your master or anything. We can't do that. We're human beings, and we need to stay right exactly where we're at. and believing it that way. And we won't get out in any problems then. All right? But when we come down to seeing it, see, you come through and you got the Old Testament written, and then you come over and you come into the book of Acts. And it was the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the people. All right? Then from there comes the church ages, and the church ages come into being, you know, as to describe God to mankind. That was the purpose. But as it comes into being, now, think of what I'm saying. If you live back there where Paul was at, you wouldn't be looking to the past. You wouldn't be looking to the future, because he'd tell you not to do that. He's wanting you to see what's going on right then. Right? Now, see, then the future's got its pull, the past has got its work, but yet if we don't stand with it to where we can see present tense, then your Bible's not alive to you. None. Is that blunt enough to where we can all understand it? The Bible's not alive. I don't care what you say. You say, oh, the Bible is alive to me. I've heard people make the statement, you know, when Brother Branham said, since the opening of the seals, he said, the Bible will become a brand new book. Well, you know, I believe it. But it was only to him at that time. But I've heard a lot of people that maybe has never read a seal book, maybe never studied anything on the seals, but get up and say, since the opening of them seals, now, the Bible has become a brand new book. Well, why have you got the same old thoughts coming out of something that's supposed to be new? Right? See, if you're going to claim something new, well, why don't you claim it to be new like the prophet did? It opened up things, what did he say? That had never been made known to mankind. That's what the opening of the seals brought into manifestation, was those points. All right. Now, then, in the church ages, see, you have a marvelous thing, because the first church age was Christ alive in the people, right? And it was present tense. John wrote it over here, as we were talking about. John wrote it after Paul had died. The age was dwindling away before John wrote it on Patmos. That don't have nothing to do with it. See? He was writing of what had been. All right? Now, but that didn't bring into view the rest of the book. So the rest of the book was not fulfilled. All right? Now get what I'm talking about, and you'll see what I'm talking about right into the Bible. See, that, but then when the second church age was written, you know what? There was somebody to make that alive. Somebody has made, as the prophet said, the word alive for every age and every time. All right. Well, see, you write the first church age, second church age, third church age, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. When you come to the seventh, you hit a marvelous situation. All right? Now we're going to pick up to that point right there, because that's where we left off. But what did we cover in the point that we're supposed to see the Bible? And we can see it especially in the church ages, and that's why I ask you to read the church ages. That, to me, will help you understand Genesis. All right? And understand how God writes His Word. First, now what's the point? First, He always shows who He is. Right? That's the theme of the entire Bible. The theme of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ. Right? The prophet said, if you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read again. He's because you missed it. Because He's the theme of the Bible. All right? All through the Old Testament, it was God trying to reveal Himself to mankind. Those prophets standing there speaking of the future, but to them, there was a lot about the future. That's why we kept reading it, that it was made known unto them that this was not for them. See, it was a revelation. They stood there and looked at things that was be into the future, right? I mean, the prophets coming through and say, and they knew it was not for them. They knew it was for us. That they did minister these things. And as it's bringing forth, then what's it saying? He was alive to them. No prophet ever spoke of a God somewhere else. Now, I'll remind you what it says in the book of Romans. It says that he's not up there, paraphrasing it. You don't need nobody to go up and get him and bring him down. He's not down here that we need to get somebody to go get him and bring him up. What does the scripture say? He's nigh thee in thy heart and your mouth. Right? He's nigh thee. He's in you. And that way that's the only way. We talk about what will bring a rapture. You say, Brother Dale, what will bring a rapture? When the future becomes present, there's got to be a change. There's nowhere to go. Did you listen to the point? I said, when the future becomes present. You said, that's crazy because it can't never. No, you're not listening. You step over in the future, it's present. There is no tomorrow. And you get to tomorrow, it's today. Simple enough, right? I'm accused of being so deep or whatever, trying to, but you're not, just not listening the way I say it. See? Those prophets saw things in, when Naaman saw chariots jostling in the streets. That was the only thing he could describe it as. But what did he see? He saw Buicks and Oldsmobiles running into each other with lightning, lights on going down the road. It was something real to him right back there, yet it would be maybe 3,000 years or something before that would ever come into being. But to him, it was present. See, a future God won't help you. A past God won't help you. There's no healer in the future. Because you're not there. Not even talking about it. There's no healer in the past. He was back there and healed people. Yeah, but it was present tense. What does the Bible say? We must believe that what? That he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, get it all to present tense. That's all I'm talking about. It's all I'm dealing with. Is to try to get you and me to see what's taking place right here tonight. That's how personal I'm talking. That's how perfect present tense that I'm just trying to get you to see. Right here tonight. See, right here tonight, the past and the future can come together and be the present tense of Almighty God living right here. Because there is no future and there is no past. It's all present tense. If I back up one day, it was just yesterday. But when I back up there, it would be today. You say, that's carnal. If I go one step forward, it would be tomorrow. But when I step there, it will be today. Oh, that's deep, ain't it? I mean, that's just so deep, we don't understand. No, you're not listening to what I'm saying. There is no future. There is no past. It's all present tense. What have we been stating? When the past and the present and the future comes together in one point, now you're going to see a change. Right? You're going to see a change. Because that's what the change is. See? All right. Now, watch now the opening of the word. First is to what? No matter if you're Old or New Testament now. First, it will describe God. Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God created. Before he writes anything about all this other, he tells you who he is. Is that the theme of the entire Bible? All right. What's the second part that has been in each church age that I ask you to read them and see? And we took them last week and just read them down through there, and we're going to read it in a minute and see. All right? First thing, it'll show who he is. Next point, he always praises the bride. It shows who she is. Then he has to rebuke. See, first it reveals God. Second, the praise of the bride. The next is rebuke for getting off the word. The next is bringing it right back to speak of the promise, because each church age did. And then to come to the overcomer to show that promise. Now remember what we stated. Every church age gets the full inheritance. They don't just get a part of God. So then the prophet said, all the preceding and everything, all will be, what is it? First church age, we see him as this. Second church age, looks like it sees him something. No, it'll just be brought on over to the next one. Amen. Over to the next one. What is the point? This age. I thought we believed that this age, because of the prophet, would bring into being the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why we've read that from 1 Peter. Because it's what is brought to thee at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a God to come. I love when that prophet said it one day. He said, I'm not looking for him to come or saying he's coming. I'm saying he's here. See, he lived in a world of present tense. Right? Because that's what he spoke. Now, it's easy to see that if you'll think about your prophet speaking in the first person. Is that right? Did the psalmist David say, they pierced my hands and my feet and things like that? Speaking as though he was Almighty God in what took place at Calvary. See, God has never tried to reveal a past. And there's no need to worry about the future. But that's what everybody wants. They want the future. They want to know who's going to be president. Right? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Well, what good would it be if you knowed? What would it help? If you knew what it was going to be. But why don't you accept what God gives? That's why I told them that time in the fellowship meeting. They kept on about it, you know. Oh, we're going to have a woman president. We're going to have a woman president. And every one of them got up and spoke about the woman president. I got up and told them, I said, do you want me to tell you who's going to be the president? Well, they're all looking. I said, you want thus saith the Lord? I said, because I'm going to quote you scripture. Thus saith the Lord. I put in kings, I take out kings. Amen. The one that God wants to be president is going to be the president. Right? Well, why can't we believe it like that? And forget our own deals. But are you getting the point now? Why did we cover? Because we're going to we're going to read the seventh church. Hey, we read the others and used a point to show that first he tells who he is, then he praises the bride. All right. Then he rebukes the bride. Now use bride to keep people from saying church or whatever, where you won't get the two confused. And then the bride comes to the point of being the overcomer. Now read all of those to the overcomer. And watch the one to this age. Watch it as we get to it. See? Alright? So go ahead, brothers, if you will, and pull up Revelation 3:14. 3:13 is 3:13, I guess, isn't it? Yeah, 13, verse 14. All right? Now, remember, we're looking for 3:14. All right. Remember, we're looking for God telling who he is, were looking for him praising the church, the bride. We're looking for him to be rebuking. Then we're looking for him to come and show what is inherited to the overcomer. And when you see the overcomer of this age, what the Bible said, then you'll see we have inherited every age from the past up. We get the overcomer of the first church age. We get the overcomer of the second, the third. Why? Because we get the complete revelation of all things. Right? Now look what he's saying. Okay? And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So now who is he describing? Himself. But who is he describing in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is he describing? All right? Now watch him. Now you can't line up the seventh church age. I like the way God writes things because, see, you can kind of take a point and you can line it up for the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, sixth church ages, and they'll all kind of fall in line. In the seventh, you got to kind of go up and down to see because there's very little praising in the seventh church age. There's more rebuking in the seventh church age than any age. Right? Because it's to finish it all up. Brother Branham said, in this age will be the wondrous, glorious revelation of all things. And how in showing where God is and what he's taking place in this age is to be revealed. It shows the complete understanding of the Antichrist. But it shows the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Now watch that as we go through. Because watch what he said. I know thy works. Remember, every age gets that statement. Every church age got that statement. I know thy works. Because that's not works like we try to have works to it. That's a life lived by Jesus Christ in you. That's the best way to say works. All right. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now, that's just not a false vine. That's to the true vine. The true vine is rebuked in each church age as well as the false vine. Okay, come on now. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. It's going to be done. The biggest portion of the world is going to be spewed out of his mouth into the tribulation. Listen. Why? Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We're not getting much praise. I counsel thee to buy me gold and the fire that thou mayest be rich and white raiment. See, a challenge instead of a praise, a challenge that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. A challenge to us. Because in this age, like I said, the Antichrist is going to come to his height or development or whatever, as well as Jesus Christ. The most deceiving age, right? The seventh church age, the most deceiving age of all things. Because you can't tell who the bride is and who's not. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can't. Well, okay, that's all right. But he said, I counsel thee. In other words, I charge you. I plead with you. Because finally he'll get down and knocking at the door, trying to get back in to his own church. Right? Look, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Not a lot of praise in this age. Not a lot of bragging in this church age. Because it's the worst age of all. Come on, if you read the church ages, you know what I'm saying is right. You always had a praise. I mean, you had an opening to who God was, a praise of the people, a rebuke, but then turning right back to showing that he never changed no part. And to the overcomer of that age, he gives a great revelation. Now, let's see if we can find that all of Revelation ends in this age, okay? To him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He didn't say on his throne. He said in his throne. He said, oh, we're going to sit up there on the stage with him. That's nothing to me. I don't care. I'm honest. I'll be glad to just take a back row seat. No problem. I don't have to be there, but I want to be in his throne. Or, in other words, I want his throne in me. So you see the challenge of this age, to him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We'll get to Revelation 4 next. We'll see how he goes from his throne to the Father's throne. We'll deal with that. All right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Always the same challenge to each one. But listen, church. Let's say it, and I'm serious. You read it there. This age is the worst age of all. This is the worst age that has ever been. Because it's the most deceiving one that has ever been. It will deceive the very elect if possible. Now, I know what your prophet said. But I know a lot what he said, too. He said, now, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to overcome that believer. He said, that won't work. All right? But how did he come, what did he come up with when he said? He said, frankly, to get them so mixed up that he need that one. He said, frankly, get them all mixed up. So mixed up that he'd have to cut the work short. What I said, I told you, we'll pick up something from this church age that I hope will help us. Because it's the most horrible age that's ever been. The Antichrist comes to his full futurition, or however how you say that wording. He comes to his full point in this age. This is the age of the most deception that had ever been. Very little praise. Did you read in the seventh church age? Not like the first church age where it say, I, you know, you hate that deeds, you against them things and all like that. The seventh church age is just flowing through the age as he goes backwards and forth to praise, but at the same time he's rebuking. Right? You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, we've got the most word. There's where the problem's at. Not the problem with the most word. The problem is what we think we've got. Right. Now, you tell me these brothers that's preached for 40, 50 years that Brother Branham was a prophet, and now they're out there turning against it. Now, you tell me they had a revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you up front, there's something wrong with you. Right. They didn't have no revelation of Jesus Christ. They had their own concept, their own thoughts, and it turned and took them away. The most deceiving age that has ever been. Like I was trying to explain it to one brother one day, and he said, well, that's a good point. See, you can't fall off of a house till you get up on it. That's just plain common sense. Well, you see, the Bible says there must be a falling away. Right? Why? So that they that are approved may be made manifest. Amen. the falling away couldn't happen in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. The people were not that close to the Word. See, when you got into the computer age and everything, you got a complete rush of the Word through all of the abilities and the things to come forth. And don't get me wrong. I've got 3 or 4 computers and I use them. But that's what I said when they started with the computer. I said, this is the most damaging thing that could ever happen to the people of this message. I said, because they won't sit down and read. They've not read the Bible. They've not read the message, you know. They haven't listened to it and had to read it and hunt it and do all the things. They just, well, I got a quote here. I've got 15 quotes on this. So what if you got one that's against you? There's something wrong somewhere. This is not one of those pile up accounts. Well, I got 30 quotes. How many have you got? Well, I've only got 3. Well, I've got you beat. That's kind of bad as that boy was at work that time. That told me, he said, boy, you in bad shape. He said, you believe one God? I said, I sure do. He said, I believe in 3. I said, well, okay, that's your business if you don't believe in 3. I just don't believe it. I believe in one God. He said, then my 3 can whoop your 1. I said, well, I said, we'll probably come find that out one of these days, but I ain't going to argue with you. It's because I got his point. His point was that he had 3 gods. They could take care of the one, but that won't work too good. All right, but now listen. I want to make sure you don't get the wrong idea. Because then truly it's still the same layout in the 7th church age as all the others. God revealing himself. God praising those that stayed with the Word. God having to rebuke both true and false vine. See? And then God bringing the people to being overcomers in this age. Now you think about where he says we're going. He said, sit with me in my throne. Not on his throne now, in my throne, as I sat with my Father in his throne. So now the same way that he climbed to that throne, you and I got to. All right. See, then it's the most wonderful age to think about. Now listen to the point. Because if you're sitting with him in his throne, you're not past. And you're not future. That was the whole point to drive down to what I'm just saying. If you're sitting with him in his throne, you might be able to sit on a throne somewhere or do something. But when you're sitting in his throne, there's no way to be deceived because we know what his throne is. What is his throne? It's his kingdom. It's his domain. It's his... And he's living in each one of us. Do you see the point? This age, we get the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. You agree? All right. Now, by getting the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, we know who he is. We know where he's at. We know what he's doing. And we know how it's going to end up in this age. What a marvelous age. What a marvelous point or a thought to think about this age. We'll be able to sit with him in his throne. Like we were talking with the brother there the other day. See, then the Bible says, you know, let my son sit with thee, one on one side, one on the other. Jesus said, that's not for me to give. You remember?
Right.
He said, now, that trial, or maybe I'm paraphrasing, but That trial has not been put forth yet. Now we can get to scripture and read it. It said, in other words, it's not come yet for an overcomer to overcome enough to be able to sit one on each side of him. Do you get it? See, to sit with him in his throne. I don't care if I'm way back off. I know you'd say the same thing. It don't matter where we at there, but what about somebody's going to be chosen to sit on one side of him and somebody on the other? Because Jesus said they would. Now that mother, she had that desire in her heart. Let my children sit one on one side and one on the other. He said, that's not given yet. The prophet said, that trial had not been brought. But you know, out of this age will come someone who can sit with him in his throne. To be able to sit with him in his throne, what a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful opportunity. But now, here's the type of things that I look at. Who would he pick to sit on one side or the other? The smartest? Not necessarily. The most relevated, you know? Not necessarily. What was the incidence that the description the prophet gave of when the king was going to ride triumphantly through the city? What did he give? He had men out there that had killed all kind of enemies. They had fought. They had run their battles and everything. And they were all around him. And he had to pick one to sit with him. And who'd he pick? He looks down to one that's down in the crowd that ain't even looking up. And he said, sir, said, where'd you get all them wounds? He said, in defense of you, look, my king. He said, come on up here. See, it's not the great revelated who's going to sit there, if you understand what I mean. It's not the head knowledge and the things that we think of the message. That doesn't grant us the right to sit with him beside of him. It'll be granted to somebody that there'll be a part that has to be overcome. I look for a quote for probably 30 years. Finally found some close points, but Brother Branham was speaking one day, and he was talking about this overcoming situation. And he was talking about, you know, things, and he said, it's those that have overcome all of this stuff in this age. You know, the stuff of this age, the things of this age, the life, the doings, the temptations, the trials. What is it then, sitting in his throne? Oh, we see that to be so and so and so and so. That's all right. I have no problems. But it might be somebody that has no idea they're going to be sitting there until the time comes. Because they don't understand what they've overcome. But around said, thinking of it a minute ago, he said, we're going to have to overcome soft living. You remember that one? Overcome soft living. Well, none of us wants to go back to the horse and buggy. Old Brother Gary Atkins, Holiday Men, when I said that, we used to talk about that. We don't want to go back to the horse and buggy. We don't want to go back to the non-AC. We don't want to go back to none of that. And we don't have to go back to that. That's the point I like. We don't have to. And it wouldn't make us no more religious or relevated, ever how you would say, you know, great revelation. Doesn't come because of how do they call that word? In other words, trying to be as low as you can be, as humble as you can be. That's well and good. But the main thing is to see who he is. That's what, who it's going to be given to. To see who he is and what's going on and what he's done. And it doesn't make us, you know, anything. You don't get it all built up about how much you see. Because remember, it's not in that realm. It's who he chooses. You know, God has marvelous, is marvelous about his choosing. Huh? I mean, would we choose the things he chose? What about him choosing Judas to walk with him? Yet knowing he would be the guy that turned him in. What about this overcomer sitting in his throne? Now here's my point I'll try to get to, and then I'll bring this one little point and get over. As I said, this age, there's not a lot of bragging. It's there because he cherishes the church and does and says good about her. But there's not a lot of praise about how good we are. The emphasis in the seventh church age is the overcomer. That's the emphasis. That's the point of each church age, right? It's the final part of overcomer and what it's to be. But what about the last one? Each one of the others, we can take that and read it. They get a revelation of this. They get a revelation of that. Right? Each church age gets a revelation of his deity. Right? You know, am I saying it right? They get a revelation. But the seventh church age gets a revelation of his person and sees where he's at. See where he's living, what he's doing. All right, now it's an odd way of saying it, but to sum up all I've said, a great revelation doesn't do much good in the past. The future to come, to know all the emphasis of everything and how everything fits and where it fits and all, that's well and good. But that's not much more than reading the newspaper. But it's to those people. Now, listen to the point I'm trying to get. What makes this group of people so special? What makes this seventh church age that he would choose you to live in it? There's something he likes about you. Something he likes about you. Might be funny how he likes about us, but it's something he likes about you. Because we were chosen for this age. Right? He done his choosing from each church age. He chose out of each church age. All right, he chose the people that could make the morning star come into being. He chose those that could bring forth the revelation of his name and the things. And all each overcomer had a revelation. But to this age, he gives them everything from there back to here. And it's none of it is past. I mean, yeah, none of it's past. Because there was somebody to make manifest the first church age, right? Somebody to make manifest the second church age, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Why can't we realize who's making manifest this church age? Because it was wrote up 2,000 years ago. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You realize that he has chosen you and me to walk in this age? He's got a reason. And then to show where this age people wind up, sitting in his throne with him. Not in the future and not in the past. I keep saying that over and over because that's my whole point. A present tense God is the only God that can do you any good. Past God won't do you any good. Future God won't do you any good. Now, come on, get what I'm saying. It's God reality right now to you. To let you, him know who you are. Now, I want you to think about something. I didn't give these to him because I just wanted to leave it. The prophet of God said, this day this scripture is fulfilled. There they are, right back in their nation. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. The Jews in their homeland. You got it up? Okay. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. The Laodicean church age. This day, this scripture, Matthew 24, is fulfilled. The world is in a corruption. The whole thing, nation against nation, earthquakes, diverse places, great whirlwinds coming down, shaking the nation, and so forth. Great disasters everywhere. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. And we found out the conditions of the world. We see where the church normal organization, denomination. We see where they are. We see where the nations are. And we see this day, these promises is fulfilled. Now, but in this day, there is to come a super royal seed of Abraham. That's exactly what it'll be. Would be a royal bride to the royal promised son, as I spoke last night. It won't be a natural seed, it'll be a spiritual seed. There's to be a spiritual bride rise up, which will be the royal seed of the royal faith of Abraham's royal son. He is to come on the scene in the last days, and the time and the place is a promise that's given to her. According to Malachi 4, a scripture, there's to rise a message that will shake the hearts of the people right back to the apostolic fathers again. There is to rise one on the scene in the power of Elijah that'll rise on the scene, a wilderness man that'll come out. And we'll have a message that'll run right straight back to the word again. That's the hour that we're living in. He goes then to the point, and in the story he tells that he had a vision of, what was it, seven things, eight things or something. Vision of all the things. All of them have been fulfilled, but one or two that you could think about. What are you saying, Brother Dale? I'm saying, when are we going to recognize where we're at? This day, all the scriptures has been fulfilled pertaining to you and me. I ain't talking about the Israel and the laters and the doing. So I'm saying just what he said. Not like him or no thought, but saying it to your thoughts and mine. This day, the word of God has been brought to you and I. If nothing else, maybe it's in our possession. You know what I mean? Holding the message, carrying the message, whatever. But what about it? I've read the scripture with a dozen or more evidences that we're living in the last day. the generation that will see Jesus Christ return to the earth. And I say to you tonight, again, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your sight. But yet we're still looking. We're still looking for the coming of the Lord. Why? Yet we've got the message. The message declares him to be present, not future nor past. But this message does not deal, he tells about the past. He tells about the future because all of that's involved. But what's his main point? When David was facing Goliath, he put everything he had upon what God had told him and dealt with him. He'd killed the bear, he'd killed the lion. Nothing was able to stand in his way. And he said, now, Goliath, you're going to be like they are. He said, this day, this scripture is going to be fulfilled. Do you think he wanted a future God? You think he wanted a past God? Or he used the past as an evidence. That's fine. But what was his point? He said, this day I'll take your head off. Well, when he stood there, he could look and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled. Don't you think it's about time we begin to believe this prophet's message? Amen. Well, Brother Dale, I believe everything he says. Now, I'm human, but I try to be straight with you. Mentally, we believe. Mentally, we believe. But a mental revelation won't face a giant. Right? So remember our point. This age, the overcomer is to be what? To sit with me in my throne. Saul had him sitting on a throne, looking at him as great God Jehovah. But David had him present tense. Don't you think it's about time we begin to believe? As the prophet said, I've given you many evidences of this day being the end. What are you looking for? I'm looking at something present tense. I'm not trying to call God up from a grave. I'm not trying to bring him down from somewhere in heaven. Paul told us not to do that. Salvation doesn't come on the basis of our... What does it come on? Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he's going to save me one of these days. That's not exactly scriptural. It may sound good, but it ain't scripture. See, church, we're going to have to get to a point of having God present tense. Because that's the only way you can say this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And we can look at the car that he saw. We can look at all of the things of the vision that he saw and say, those things took place. But still, there's got to be a reality of something real. Like my wife said when we first was listening to the message, maybe the first three or four messages we listened to and brought around telling the things that had happened. She said it like this, and we were just good old Baptists, you know. No Holy Ghost, no born again experience. She said, if he's done what he says he's done, he had to be a prophet. Well, that's the best way to start. The best way to start is just put it all down and say, well, okay, I'm going to believe it. But I hope you listen to what I'm talking about. It's not a point that I'm just trying to get you to see something present tense. Is your God real? Then you can say, this day this scripture is fulfilled. You say, Brother Dale, I received the new birth. This day this scripture is fulfilled. Brother Dale, I've come to a lot of things in the message. This day this scripture is fulfilled. I've seen God do a lot of things. This day this scripture is fulfilled. Are you listening? Somebody has got to live this age. We can sure look out there and see a lot of people that's doing a pretty good job of living it, right? But what about me and you? You see, I know that I say things and people, they turn against me. But I ain't got time to listen to a bunch of garbage. This thing's running out. Whether you like it or not, there's a lot of us in this building ain't going to make it too much longer. Well, Brother Dale, because we're getting old. And death is going to take its toll. You know what I told him at the fellowship meeting? I said, God don't come pretty quick. We're going to have fellowship meetings in the nursing home. You know what we'd be doing in the nursing home? What did he say? He said something about me believing three gods. I do too, you know. That's about as much as we'd believe. But church, listen. As serious as you can be in your life, is God present tense to you? I know this statement ain't going to move over too good, but you know, there's a lot of times I wish God was in three parts. He said, Brother Dale, because maybe somewhere in between the three of them, they'd forget about me. Yeah? That's what I mean by it. Maybe they'd forget about me and what I am because they'd be dealing with each other. But there ain't no three gods, so I ain't got to worry about it. I got to face him myself. But see, church, why can't we say, this day I have put everything I've got into this message? Now, come on. You know around this message and what they're doing today. We don't have to throw off on nobody. It's not nothing. But you know where they're going and what they're going after. But see, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. There must needs be a falling away. And to be a falling away, you got to be up there close. So a lot of people have been close and fell away. What about a God that would allow us to be brought to a place like it is? He said, but Brother Dale, my God is too good. He wouldn't let me be tempted and persecuted and tried, and he wouldn't. What gave you that authority? When I can quote to you about millions of them that died at the martyr stakes, that he knew they was going to do it and he permitted it to take place. So let's don't go on the basis that we're so goody-goody. See? Well, you get what I'm saying? Can you see that we're in the end time? Or are you just living a day-by-day routine of a message part? Are we just some other cult, some other group of people that have come along? Or do we believe that he's real? The thing about it is, you don't have to worry about, because he's going to overcome. This age is going to overcome everything Satan throws at it. Somebody's going to do it. This day, this scripture is fulfilled among us. Everything's being thrown at you can be thrown. He's going to try you to see whether you'll stay with the truth or not. Or see if you got your little feelings hurt about this or about that or some kind of a point or whatever, the thought, you know. Come on, musicians. Just think, this age is the worst of all ages, but it's the greatest age, greatest thing, time, is fixing to drop into eternity. Now listen, if you're thinking about the future, you realize you've got to find out where you are. You're in the present tense. Huh? You say, well, no, Brother Dale, no, you're not in the future. You're in present tense. I want to be here because this is where God's at. He's not in the future. He has no reason to be there. Like I've always said, and you know, when they went to the moon, I said, God didn't have to go to the moon because ain't nobody up there. He didn't have to go judge nobody nor anything. There ain't nobody up there. That's plain sense. But see, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. What? We're in the Laodicean age. We're in the last age of all ages that could ever be. There is no eighth church age. The next, you automatically go to Revelation 4:1, and a door opened in heaven. But see, that door is open right now. The only way you and I are going to get into heaven is realize where we're at right now. And to see this day, this scripture. You realize what I'm saying? To the Gentile dispensation of the bride part, this is finished. No, we got to go do this. We got to do that. See, All we got to do is get him here. We don't have to worry about going there. I've never believed the rapture was going there. I wrote it down, it's on my notes and the message before. But Brother Brown said the seventh church age takes the rapture. Amen. All right. This day, this scripture is fulfilled if we believe it. Surely we ought to believe we're in the Laodicean age. Surely we ought to believe all of the things that has happened that's in the scriptures and the things that are pointed out. But when are we going to believe that we're the people at the end of all things has come upon? Because see, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. To someone, we're the living manifestation of the Word of God. Because that's what it was in every church age. That's what it was all the way through the Old Testament, all the way down through the Bible. Been somebody making God's Word alive. Well, when are we going to believe that we're the people making it alive? What we got, Brother Lestine?
103 in the Red Book.
This day,
103.
This scripture is fulfilled.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. And his earnestly fervently prayed.
Can you believe it?
But you cannot have rest.
Can you believe where we're at?
Perfectly blessed.
And what we're doing?
The altar is laid.
This is the last age.
Is your all.
Somebody's going to stand forth and say, I believe it.
Does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as we yield your body and soul.
Anybody have a need? This day. Is reality of life and happiness. It has come from the Word of God to make us know who we are. Yes, we will. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I just don't feel nothing. Where's that at? That's Lady Osea. I just don't see nothing going on. That's Lady Osea. But when you really see who you are and what's taking place this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. But do you believe it? Are you still looking for something? Are we looking at it? It'll only be present tense to look at it. You can't see the future. The past is gone. Is your God living in the future? No. My God's not living in the past. He's present tense. Because this is the age. If this is the age that takes a rapture, this is the age that past, present, and eternity comes together as one thing. We're going to sail out of here. There won't be no past, present, or future when we get out of this world. It'll all be over with. So why can't we say this day this scripture is fulfilled, Brother Dale? Why can't we say it? What have we got to worry about? Why are we worried? Why are we concerned? We're to be concerned with our lives, yes. With the word being revealed, yes. But not concerned about what the rest of the world's doing. We can't change that anyway. Come on. What did the prophet say? George Washington and Abraham Lincoln in every office in the country and wouldn't be able to pull it out. You know, we used to look at that and say, no, I don't believe that, but I think this day that ought to be revealed to you, that it can be done now. I never knew Obama existed until he was president. And I certainly didn't know Trump existed. And I knew very little about Jimmy Carter. He just puts in who he wants in, and it's going to finish. Right man has to be in the right office. Everything take place. Yeah. Why? Because we're living it. All right. What about it? Father, I know this has been an odd way of presenting something. But I pray you'd break down into the hearts of the people to let us all see one thing. If we're looking to the future, we're messing up. If we're looking back, we're messing up. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. We're living in a time toward that Satan on every hand is pulling and twisting. But yet, we walk with you, Lord, in your word and believe you. Forgive our sins, because we know we do that. We have problems in our human elements, but yet we want to rest in you. And if we can sit with you in your throne, our Lord, let that be the kingdom of God. We love you and we thank you. Bless everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your love be with us in Jesus' name. Yeah. Wade has a little announcement to make. Just go ahead.